Are you ready?
Hey, think you can tell us what to do? You think you can tell us what to wear? You think that you're better? Well, you better get ready. Bow to the masters.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Road Show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. You can also hit us up on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, you are good to go. There's also Twitter, at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jongi Football, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. You missed the first hour. Talked a little Texans, talked a little college football, a little bit of everything. All available at podcastarena.com, so go and check it out. Everything that we talked about is all there. You can also listen to us on the TuneIn Radio app. You can also listen on ESPN975.com and the ESPN Radio app. So if you're just getting in your car and you want to go and listen to the rest of the show and you're not going to do it on your radio, plenty of ways to do it. All right, this is where we go through all the games. Before we do, I just want to throw something out there. And you can tell me I'm an idiot, but I think one of the reasons why I've started enjoying college football more than NFL football over the last couple of years, mostly because my betting record on college football is a lot better.
That makes it more enjoyable,
that,
for sure.
That definitely makes it more enjoyable. Yeah. But I think the NFL play calling especially has become so predictable.
I mean, agree with that.
Honestly, 3rd and 13 is going to be a screen pass
except
or a draw.
Except 4th and 3 for the Colts.
Right, and that's why I don't want to beat them up too much for trying to do something different, but eh.
Yeah.
You know, that's it's not going to get it done. But I wish it was more creative because you can tell what's coming almost every play now. And I think part of that is, and I was talking to a friend of mine yesterday, part of that is what wins games in the NFL? Turnovers.
Yeah.
So if you're predictable, you're probably not turning the ball over. And I get so tired of seeing 3rd and 13 screen pass, 3rd and 13 draw play. If you're on your own side of the field, nobody's taking chances down the field because you don't want to turn the ball over. So college football, they're doing all kinds of crazy stuff. I mean, watching the first half of that Baylor game, some of those plays that they were running were just fun as hell.
Yeah.
Anyway, having said that, let's go through the league. We'll start off with the Bengals at your Buffalo Bills. Kind of tough not having your quarterback, but the Bengals continue to play well. Andy Dalton continues to play at an extremely high level.
Road Andy Dalton is the guy. That's the guy to bet on now. Road Andy Dalton.
Yeah. And you know what? The Bills defensively didn't play their best game, but I got to give the Bengals credit for that. I think that's one where you look at the way they move the football, the way Dalton was efficient against them. This is a good football team right now. I think, obviously, there's a long way to go, but the two teams that I'm most surprised by in the NFL are Cincinnati and Carolina. I
mean,
both those teams are playing at a very high level.
Cincinnati's really good. The Bills are... they're middle of the road. What's funny is the Bills, if the playoffs started today, the Bills would make the playoffs.
Yeah, and I think they will make the playoffs when it's all said and done, but I think they're a wild card type team.
But they had a tough schedule early. Colts, Pats, Giants, Bengals, all in the first 6 weeks.
Right.
And you come out of that 3-3. If you're a good team, you know, you're going to get better as Jags, Dolphins, Chiefs, Texans come up on the schedule. But yeah, I don't know if they're as good as we thought they were, and I think the Bengals are definitely better than we thought they were. But Buffalo getting LeSean McCoy back helps. Getting him back when Tyrod Taylor's out doesn't help as much.
Broncos, maybe the most unimpressive 6-0 team in football, but their defense is playing lights out right now.
That's the best defense in the NFL, in my opinion, right now. It's really amazing that the Broncos continue to win because Peyton Manning's not been good.
He's a minus right now. He is an absolute minus.
The run game's not been great. Well, C.J. Anderson specifically has not been great. Ronnie Hillman ends up running the ball a lot yesterday and running pretty effectively. But, yeah, Peyton Manning, you know, 290 yards, one touchdown, three picks. But they win. I mean, it's the Browns, but they still win. You know, the defense doesn't let you run the ball. 3.3 yards per carry yesterday for the Browns, and Josh McCown turned the ball over a couple times himself. And you know, it's a good win. Not a great win. The Browns hung in there with him, but at the end of the day, the quarterback who leads the league in interceptions is 6-0.
The Lions get their first win, beat the Bears 37-34. Terrible call at the end of the half with Golden Tate. How is that not a touchdown?
Listen, you can...
And then a really dumb penalty by the Bears that really cost them the game.
Yeah, there's just... That was an ugly game. Neither one of these teams are very good. Matt Stafford had his best game of the year, and so did Calvin Johnson. I don't think that was a coincidence.
Right.
But... Referees have to figure out what a touchdown is.
Yeah.
I don't understand why it's so difficult for these guys to figure it out. You catch the ball outside the end zone, you cross into the end zone with the football, that's a touchdown.
Yeah.
It's a touchdown in every universe, it's a touchdown. I don't understand why.
Except for the alternate universe where these guys were existing yesterday.
Why people who are paid money to make that decision can't seem to figure it out is beyond me. And not only that, announcers who are paid money to talk about football act like, oh, I don't know what's going on here. Dude, this is your freaking job to know what's going on, and they're clueless. I mean, it's just terrible. Terrible announcing, terrible officiating, and that game had terrible football as well.
We almost got our first dump of the week.
I know, sorry.
And we're not even 2 hours in.
I held up on that. I'm proud of myself for that. I'm going to pat myself on the back.
The Vikings beat the Chiefs 16-10. Really ugly game. The Chiefs are just a bad football team right now.
And with no Jamal Charles, they're awful.
Yeah, and that's one of the things that we talk a little bit more about the Texans. When you look at their resume, getting housed by that team in your own building and they haven't won since.
Yeah, that's not a good sign.
Jets beat the Redskins 34-20. Jets are playing very good football right now. They're winning by double digits. Great defense for the most part, and Kirk Cousins is still a complete trash heap.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick playing out of his mind. Brandon Marshall out of his mind. Chris Ivory out of his mind, and they're still playing good defense. That's a really good team, and you know it kind of stings. It's got to sting for a Texans fan to look at Ryan Fitzpatrick and look what he's doing every week. And it stings less this week because Brian Hoyer actually didn't play like an a-hole. But most weeks it's going to sting to look at what Ryan Fitzpatrick's doing and look what the Jets are doing and look what the Texans have going on.
Steelers beat the Cardinals 25-13, and this is one where Mike Vick gets hurt. Landry Jones looks like a quarterback.
The worst thing that could have happened to the Cardinals at that point in the game, because Mike Vick was completely inept. I mean, he looked like he's probably lost his job.
But as he probably should. But you go back to last week, he was looking completely inept. And even John Gruden is like, hey, I want to see what Landry Jones has, which you never hear Gruden say that. So, and then they wind up winning the game. But in this case, I thought Landry Jones played pretty well off the bench. But more importantly, as bad as he is, they've still got Le'Veon Bell. They've still got Brown. I mean, they're so tough to beat in that building unless you're the Ravens.
Yeah.
And especially... the Cardinals, I think, are very good, but they're also – that's just a lot to ask to go in and beat Pittsburgh in Pittsburgh.
Well, the Cardinals made a bonehead decision. I say the Cardinals. Carson Palmer made a bonehead decision, and Carson Palmer's having a fantastic season, and he's been really great, and he's a big reason why Arizona is 4-2,
right.
You know, even with the loss. But I think he got a little bit greedy and turns the ball over in a situation where you just can't afford to turn the ball over. And I hate to say it, but he kind of cost them that game. And that's probably not true. The dude threw for 400-something yards. I mean, he played really, really well. He just made a big error. And the Cardinals, one thing I will say is if they're going to be serious, they've got to run the ball better.
Yeah, they do.
And I know Chris Johnson had some big games, but Andre Ellington's a better player than him at this point. David Johnson's a better player than him at this point. I think maybe... They're still expecting Chris Johnson to keep it up, and I think that those two games we saw were more of a flash than what Chris Johnson really is at this point. Otherwise, Chris Johnson would have never fallen all the way off the mat.
Right,
you know?
And several teams passed on him when they signed him,
but they seem intent on him being their guy, and their running game is really suffering for it. 2.8 yards per carry yesterday. That's just that ain't going to get it done.
Dolphins make a coaching change, come off the bye week, and just crush a bad Titans team, which is getting worse. Marcus Mariota looked very much like a first-year quarterback yesterday, 38-10.
And now he's hurt.
Yeah. So that Titans team, is, it's one thing if you're the Texans, you've got two garbage teams in your division that you should not lose to at any point. And it'll be real interesting to see the Dolphins play the Texans next week because they simplified everything. And I mean, we see this a lot when you make a coaching change. Team comes out, they're just sick of the other guy. They play really well. We'll see if it continues. I'm not sold yet on the Dolphins.
I'm still not sold either because I don't like Ryan Tannehill. But
yeah,
yesterday
he threw two picks too.
22 of 29, so he misses seven passes. Two of them go to the other team. But they got Lamar Miller back, over 5 yards per carry, almost 6 yards per carry. The Texans may need to pay extra close attention to that guy next week. And the Titans just can't run the ball.
Right.
18 rushing attempts for the Titans. And this game didn't really get out of hand until the fourth quarter.
Right, right.
You've got to be able to run the ball a little bit. And your leading rusher, Antonio Andrews, 9 for 23 yards.
Yeah, that's
no,
not going to get it done.
You're not winning anything in the NFL like that.
Not in any league are you going to win if that's your leading rusher. And before we go to break, we'll talk Panthers Seahawks because the Panthers team, much like Cincinnati, is much better than I give them credit for. And it's interesting because both those quarterbacks got paid. They're both delivering. And I've got some
Are they?
Yeah, I think they are.
Russell Wilson's delivering?
No, I'm talking about Dalton and Cam Newton.
Okay.
Because I was comparing the Panthers to the Bengals.
Gotcha.
Both those guys are delivering. And I have some stats for Monday morning quarterback when we come back on Cam Newton first half and second half yesterday. But
because Cam Newton was really bad early on.
He was bad early on, but he was great late. And
his stat line finishes up is
But when the game mattered,
yeah,
that's when he was at his best.
And when the game mattered, the Seahawks, again,
they crapped their pants.
That team is – something's wrong with them mentally because – either that or depth-wise because they're either tiring out at the end of games or they're just quitting. And that's a team that has been really mentally tough for the last several years, and that's been part of what makes them so great. This is not a great Seahawks team. It's a pretty good Seahawks team. But they are letting games get away from them that shouldn't get away from them, and they're sitting at 2-4 now. Now you start to say, is this a playoff team? Are we sure?
I still think they are, but you can't keep blowing games. They've had the lead in every single game, and they've lost four of them.
And they figured out finally a way to get Jimmy Graham involved.
Yeah.
But, dude, the defense kind of fell asleep, especially on the last drive. Dude, there is no way the Panthers should have gone down and scored a touchdown there. It should have been overtime, worst-case scenario. That's not the same Seahawks team we've seen for the last several years.
You think they missed their defensive coordinator?
I think they do.
Okay.
Even though, listen, Pete Carroll.
They're still playing good defense. Don't get me wrong,
I'll take Pete Carroll over almost any defensive coach in this league. But Dan Quinn, and you know I loved this dude for years, Fred. That's a really good coach, and I think you could see what Atlanta has turned into defensively. And they, no doubt they miss him.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, I'll give you those Cam Newton stats. We'll finish off the league. It's a Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
This is an ESPN 97.5 road show, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. So I want to share these Cam Newton numbers with you. This is from Monday Morning Quarterback. And first half. Obviously, it wasn't very good, right?
No.
Now I can't find this. Oh, there it is. First 52 minutes of the game, 9 of 23, 112 yards, no touchdowns, two interceptions, a rating of 18.8. They scored 14 points. The last 8 minutes of the game.
18.8.
Yeah, that's quarterback.
Is that good?
That's not good.
Oh, okay.
The last 8 minutes of the game. 11 of 13, 157, one touchdown, no picks, 142.6 rating, 13 points.
Yeah.
And I've always said I'd rather have the guy who's good in the fourth quarter, and that's one thing about Andrew Luck I've always liked. He may suck for three quarters, but in the fourth quarter he's usually nails. You know, Peyton Manning's been that way his whole career. He can have a bad first half, and then he just tears you up when the game's on the line. Starting to see that out of Cam Newton, and we saw that yesterday, but those are pretty amazing numbers when you think about it. And yeah, on the whole, not great numbers, but if you tell me you're going to get 11 of 13, 157, and 13 points in the last 8 minutes of a game out of a quarterback, I'll take my chances with the rest of it. All right, let's take a look at the other games. The Ravens continue to spiral into hell. You lose to the 49ers, you're playing bad football. And the Ravens' secondary is just a mess. And it's interesting that they cut Colorful Socks and the Texans pick him up because their secondary has been awful.
Yeah, they're just not good defensively. The one guy that I won't talk smack about is Steve Smith.
Yeah.
Because that dude has a broken back. And he's still out there.
He's out there trying.
Better than everybody else on that team. And I don't know. I don't want to feel too bad for the guy, but I kind of feel a little bit bad for Joe Flacco because he's just running out there with, you know, Kamar Aiken and Max Williams and Jeremy Roos.
Yeah, I mean, it's just crap.
He doesn't have much to work with, but, you know, he's doing what he can do. But defensively, this team is not good enough to make up for the fact that they're missing basically everybody who's good off of that offense.
I think offensively, they're good enough to win games. Defensively, they're not. And that's really...
And really, offensively, they're good enough, and that's a credit to Joe Flacco and Steve Smith.
Yeah.
But defensively, they're just bad. And when Colin Kaepernick has the kind of game that he had, Colin Kaepernick's a trash can, and he looked like a Pro Bowler out there.
Packers beat the Chargers 27-20. Packers 6-0. Not their most impressive effort. Phillip Rivers, 503 yards.
Man, Philly gave it his all, didn't he?
Yeah, and it just goes to show sometimes having a quarterback is not enough. And because you can't ask for too much more than what he did yesterday. Just the Packers, if you'd have told me that he was going to throw for 500 yards and that you were going to get
less, and not throw a pick?
And not throw a pick, get less than 10 yards rushing out of Eddie Lacy, I would have told you the Chargers won the game.
Yeah.
But... Didn't happen.
James Starks went off 10 for 112 and a touchdown. You know, Rivers had a really good game. At the end of the game, though, he couldn't punch it in. They had their chances to get it in there. And the fact that team doesn't have a running game and Melvin Gordon getting hurt didn't help. But let's face it, Melvin Gordon hasn't been good all year. So they don't have a reliable back to just hammer it when you need to hammer it. Danny Woodhead's good for what he is.
Even if they did, that offensive line is not very good at run blocking on top of everything
else. That offensive line's not very good at anything.
Yeah.
But kudos to Phillip Rivers for making something of it. But that is just not that's not a team that you can win with consistently. But when I look at all the 2-4 teams, that team is better than 2-4, the Chargers. I mean, that's a sort of a sad state that they're 2-4.
Yeah, I think between the Chargers and the Seahawks, I see two 2-4 teams that I still think we'll be heard from when it's all said and done.
I do, too.
And, yep, I know Texans fan wants to try to throw them into
that conversation.
No, you're not. And the Patriots-Colts we talked about earlier in the show, that was just one of the dumbest calls I've ever seen. And the fact that apparently it's on your kick returner who was playing center for snapping the ball when he wasn't supposed to. But why, and we talked about this last hour, why even be in that situation? If you're going to go for it on 4th-and-3, go out there with your offense and see if the play's there. If it's not, go ahead and take the penalty and move on.
Yeah.
But you cannot – I think part of it is the Patriots get in your head.
If I'm the Colts, I'm never going to lose with Andrew Luck on the sideline. You know what I mean?
Unless he's hurt.
Yeah. But as long as that guy's got a helmet, if I'm running a play, he is going to be on the field. And if he doesn't do it, so be it. Which, by the way, Andrew Luck, he looked like good Andrew Luck again last night. But if you leave him on the sideline and you try to draw up some cartoon coloring book play and he's not involved and it goes south, of course people are going to question it. And they should. That's just a bonehead call.
All right, there you go. That was all the action yesterday. And fun day in the NFL. And we'll get to some more college later, too. And we'll have Stanford Rout on next segment to talk about. He's got some observations too from the weekend, so plenty to talk about. But we can also try to mix in some phone calls in a little bit. 713-780-ESPN. Angel says, "Would you take Manning or Bradford tonight for fantasy?" I would take Manning because I think the Giants win the game, and I've actually bet on the Giants when it was 5.5. It's down to 3.5 now.
I bet on the Giants today at +150.
Okay, I like the Giants to win the football game.
Yeah, I'm going balls to the wall on this one.
All right, and this, you know, I was telling you before the show. Yesterday is the first day I can remember in years where I didn't bet an NFL game. I just did not like any of them enough to make a play. The one I was closest on was two I was close on were the Jets and the Steelers, and I couldn't trust Mike Vick with my money.
Yeah.
And I didn't really trust Ryan Fitzpatrick with my money. So I'm kind of like, okay, you know what? I'm going to just sit out today. But I am playing the Giants tonight. And I had a really good college football Saturday. So I went 5-1 on college play Saturday. So I kind of was like, you know what? I'm going to get out of here with a winning weekend no
good
matter
for
what.
You.
Don't mess with it. And, you know, that's sometimes if – yeah, we always tell people you don't have to play. You get to pick and choose. And so I sat out yesterday, and I'm kind of glad I did because I don't think I would have done very well. All right, if you got a business and you want to do well, you got to call my friend Hector over at SiteJab. Listen, last month one of our blitzers heard about SiteJab on ESPN, called in, created a customized internet marketing plan for him. Guess what? They've already received over 15 leads in just the first month. That's people calling that they would have never heard from before. That's what SiteJab can do for you. If you tried looking your company up online and it's hard to find, guess what? Your potential customers can't find you either. That's what SiteJab does. It's not just them that they're helping. They've helped their local businesses grow their leads from 30 to as much as 75% in just a few months. Imagine what that can mean to your bottom line. Imagine how that can build your business and help you grow. And they've helped a lot of mom and pops grow into large businesses simply by helping them use the internet the right way. If you haven't tapped into the power of the internet and you need direction, schedule a free consultation with local Houston-based SiteJab.com. 713-999-4661 is the number. If you're over at Beaumont, they can help you too. If you get trying to get your business off the ground, this is the way to do it. Call today, get a free consultation, and if you call now and mention ESPN, you're going to get a free mobile version of your website for signing up. That's a $400 value. You're looking for a real online quarterback. Call Hector Garcia at SiteJab.com. 713-999-4661. They guarantee leads. They guarantee they can increase your leads in 6 months, or their service is free. That's SiteJab, SiteJab.com. They're Houston-based. They're here to help your locally owned company grow. Give them a call right now. Tell them I sent you. They will take care of you. 713-999-4661. That's 713-999-4661. SiteJab, 713-999-4661.
This is an ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number if you want to get in. 713-780-3776. One thing on the Texans we didn't get to in the first hour. How good is DeAndre Hopkins right now? I mean, that guy is playing at an incredible level. And when you look at Brian Hoyer's numbers for the game, you can make a case that's the best game he's ever played.
Yeah.
And a lot of that was Hopkins going up and just making ridiculous catches. And the one on the helmet was I still think the Stanford catch the other night is the best one I've seen since Odell Beckham. But that catch that Hopkins made on the sidelines was
pretty
incredible.
Awesome. Yeah, and this is the first time that I've watched Hopkins, you know, have a fantastic game like that, and they weren't just a bunch of empty stats.
Right.
And the game was out of hand. So they were. I got a couple questions about it last night about is DeAndre Hopkins a top five receiver, and I can say pretty emphatically no. But I think if you ask me, is he in the top 10 conversation? I think it's kind of hard to keep him out of it. You know, I think if you say he's one of the best 10 to 15 receivers in football. I can't even argue it at that point. So, yeah, I mean, he's turned into...
I'd put him in that 6 to 10 range. I think he's not quite top 5, but he's close. But you know what? Let's ask Stanford Rout, former NFL cornerback, because I think he'll have a little insight into how good this guy's playing right now. Stanford, appreciate the time as always, sir. Where would you rank DeAndre Hopkins on what you've seen through 6 games this far this season?
Man, that's a tough one, dude. Man, he's really been doing his thing. I've noticed ever since he got into the league, he's been balling. But this year, he's definitely taken to the next level. Where I would put him at, just like what you guys were saying, I'd probably put him somewhere in that 6 to 10 range. But the thing about receivers is, with so much passing going on in today's game, there's so many stats by so many different players and different guys on different teams, where everybody's just so interchangeable. So, you just got a whole lot of good guys. Like, you could ask 10 different people, name the top five receivers in the game, and you're going to get 10 – you're going to get probably about 5-10 different variations of the top five. So, it's tough, but I would definitely put him up there, though.
So to me, there's the total athletic freaks, the Calvin Johnsons, the Dez Bryants,
Julio
Jones,
mm-hmm. A.J. Green.
A.J. Green.
Yeah. Odell.
Odell and Antonio Brown. Yeah. I mean, that's to me, that's kind of the
Jordy
Nelson. However you want to rank him.
Jordy yeah. Nelson, well, too. I got to put him in there.
I don't even know he's the best guy on his team. I might like Randall Cobb more than him.
I definitely know what you mean. But no, Jordy Nelson, he's the guy that when you line up on him, you don't have a full appreciation for his speed down the field until you actually line up against him. He's definitely one of those guys.
I think another guy we should probably start putting back in the conversation that we tried to forget about is Brandon Marshall based on what he did yesterday. That guy's still just
him too.
Amazing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Larry Fitzgerald didn't.
Yeah, he's not dead either.
He's not dead either.
Can't forget about Fitz. It's one of those things where receiver is just such a – it's just such a arbitrary position nowadays because you got so many guys that are putting up great numbers. It's really hard to really rank them. Like, you got – and you, another guy you guys didn't mention about the athletic freak, Demaryius Thomas. Like, you got so many guys that Demaryius Thomas, Dez Bryant in the 2010 draft. Then you got the 2011 draft. You got Julio Jones. You got my man, A.J. Green. I, for the life of myself, I cannot rank those guys of 1 through 4 who is better. I can't. Like, every time I think about it, I always forget, like, oh, well, you know what? Maybe I should put him number one. And you got so many guys that I just like to just throw them in a pile of elite receivers because ranking them, it's hard. It's hard at that position.
So basically they're like super hot women. You're not going to kick any of them out of bed, right?
No, you can't. You can't go wrong with any of them. It's like 1A, 1B, 10A, 10B, you know, something like that. You can't go wrong with either choice. So – You just go with what you got.
All right, Stanford, every week we've got three things that you observed over the weekend that you saw in the games, both college and NFL. So take us through your three things today.
man, I gotta give – number one, I got to give a shout-out to my Cougs. They're number 21 in the country right now, and the only winning team that they got on the rest of the schedule is – Memphis, and they're, I believe, number 18 right now. So I'm just happy about that. I think we really going to do something this year, and we're going to turn some heads. And
well, Navy's a winning team, too, and they've got them. So don't forget about Navy, man. That's a good football team.
Okay. Well, definitely got to go ahead and add them. But, man, my man Herman, like, he's doing a great job with them. And I just really believe that man just needs to stay here and don't treat U of H like it's a stepping stool to a SEC or an ACC head coaching job.
All right. So that's number one. What's number two on your list?
Number two. Oh, my gosh. Jim Harbaugh, man. I am very, very impressed and just proud of what he's done with that team up there in Michigan in such a short time. You know, having three straight games of those guys having a shutout, which is very, very Alabama-esque on the defense side of the ball. And despite the muff punt we all saw Saturday afternoon, man, he's doing a great job with them out there. It's, I mean, it's horrible that game ended the way it did, but man, that dude, he earns a lot of respect, dude. He really, really has, and I like the way he's doing up there.
Have you ever seen a football game end like that? With basically a fluke play that, you know, really there's not much that can go wrong with 10 seconds left, but that certainly was one of the things that could.
Man, I just got back from running a couple of errands on Saturday afternoon, and I just walked in the house and I'm watching the game because I tried to keep up with it a little bit in the first half because I really wanted to see Michigan beat Michigan State. I really, really did because I think Jim Harbaugh is doing a great job, and I just want to see him continue with the momentum. And I was really hoping that they would be able to get up into the 4-team playoff. Doesn't really look like that now with having two losses, but that's what I really wanted to see. I walk in the house and I'm saying, okay, they're already up. It's about a minute and a half left, and they just got the ball. I think the corner just picked off the pass, so they're just running the clock out. Then they come up to fourth down. They got a punt. Michigan State has no timeout, so I'm thinking to myself, like, man, like, Michigan's about to ride home. And Jemele Hill's going to have to eat her words on his and hers. And when I saw him bobble the snap, I was like, oh, my God. I was like, okay, you know what? At the very worst, Michigan State will get the ball, and then they just got to heave up a Hail Mary. And then when I saw him try to still kick it, and then he lost it, and then a whole swoon of white jerseys are picking it up, and it's a convoy to the end zone, I'm just thinking, like, man, that's got to be sick. Like, that's just got to be a sick feeling.
But, all right, what's number three on your list today?
Number three, these Texans are not out of it. They're not out of it. The team that they're chasing, they can't even run a fake punt the right way without just killing it and just calling timeout once they see they don't get the formation or the set that they want, that they're looking for. So the Texans are 2-4. You got the Colts who lead the division at 3-3. Man, they're not out of this thing. I know you guys have your own personal feelings of what's been going on within that team over there off of Kirby, but they're not out of this thing. They're not.
Well, here's what I would say. Yeah, technically they're not out of it, and they're only one game back. But really they're two games back because they blew a home game against the Colts in the division without Andrew Luck, and that's like a win and a half. And there's, to me, that is going to be the game that you come back in a month and say if they do play better.
Yeah, if we would have won that game. I know what you mean.
Yeah, then that's going to be the one you say, hey, you know what? I think this was your chance. All right, that's Stanford route, played cornerback at UH. And how about Memphis winning? How much does that help the conference? Because now you've got a real good chance of having an unbeaten Memphis and unbeaten UH here in a few weeks. How big would that be for the conference and for UH too?
That is going to be a huge game whenever they play. I'm not sure when it is on the schedule, but I do know that it's going to be coming down the pike here real soon. And with both those teams undefeated and ranked, yeah, it's going to be huge. I hope it's actually going to be at U of H.
Fred, it is? Yeah, it's at UH.
Oh, hey, we definitely going to that one then, Fred. We got to.
Oh, I'll be there. I'll be there for sure.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, got to.
All right, that's Stanford Rout, former NFL and UH cornerback. He played for the Raiders, played for the Texans. Stanford, appreciate the time, sir, and I look forward to talking to you again.
Yes, sir. See you guys again next week.
All righty. We'll be right back. It's a Blitz on ESPN 975. Tell me when it's over.
ESPN 97.5 Roadshow, live from Tupelo's on Rayford Road in Spring. This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5, brought to you by AcceptanceAppliance.com. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. We're having lunch out on Fridays each Friday. Join John and Raheel in Unfiltered. They'll broadcast live beginning at 10 a.m. from Nick's Place. Meet us at the best Italian food and drink spot in Houston. 27-13 Rocky Ridge. Kick your weekend off right with ESPN 97.5. Make sure you say hello to my buddy Nick out there. I'm gonna get out there for one of these Friday shows. Problem is, I tend to drink too much when I go there.
Yeah, then you got to do a show.
Yeah, and I don't want to be Jong. don't be Jong. Hey Jong, how were you after that the other day?
No, I was fine.
Yeah, a lot of people commented and said you had a great performance.
I don't know if great is would
a lot, listen.
Be
a lot of ladies were talking it. About how you made them feel.
Yeah,
you know, down there.
I got to tell you, he made me feel that way down there too. I had to go excuse myself. I was pretty excited. That was fun. That was one of the more fun shows that I think I've been involved with in a while. So thank you for that, John.
You're welcome.
All right, let's do the Zadok Jewelers Gem of the Day.
The gem of the day, it's the gem of the day, the Zadok Jeweler gem of the day.
All right, AJ, I've got to ask this. Did you perchance go to Los Angeles this weekend and try to fly to San Francisco?
I did not.
Okay, because this is something I think one of us might have done. There was a Southwest Airlines flight. This is something we've discussed on the show many times. That took off from Los Angeles, was in flight for 13 minutes, and had to turn around and go back. Because of a fight, a man allegedly choked a woman in front of him because, guess what she did? She reclined her seat.
Oh. 13 minutes in, she's reclining?
Yes, yes. I mean, 13 minutes, you're not even at 10,000 feet yet, right? You're not supposed to do that.
What soulless beast does such a thing?
Well, apparently a soulless beast did that. The man got upset, started yelling at her, started choking her, and they had to return the flight. He was taken off the flight. Everybody else was delayed 5 hours. To me,
maybe that's an overreaction. Maybe choking her is an overreaction.
A little bit, but the real criminal here is the woman.
This chick has to learn a lesson somehow. There has to be some kind of, I don't know, there needs to be justice. If you can't choke them, what can you do?
All right, that's what we need to figure out, is what we're going to do to people.
What is a fair punishment for airplane seat recliners?
Peeing in her hair?
And go ahead. Let me tell you this. All you guys that are about to tweet me right now and say, it reclines, I'm going to recline, bro. I'm blocking you on Twitter because you're a piece of crap. That's what you are. You're not human. Don't recline on your flight unless you're in first class. If you're in first class, you know what? Lay it all the way back if you want.
Oh, yeah. You can have sex in first class.
Yeah.
You can do whatever you want in first class, but
it's about having respect for the people around you.
Absolutely.
If you're going to ride coach, you don't recline and you take a shower. It's just one of those things because, you know, if you don't follow those two rules, anarchy ensues, and that's what's happened here.
Well,
we're a civilized nation of people.
Theoretically, yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If this was some third world country airline and somebody's like, oh, I don't, I'm going to recline my seat. Okay. Well, that's what savages do.
Well, that's what they do in Malaysia Air. That's why they lose their airplanes.
We're supposed to be advanced humans. You guys are acting like we're not evolved. You guys are acting like apes on airplanes is what you're doing.
Somebody asked, do you think she'll ever recline again? I hope not. I hope she learned her lesson.
She probably didn't, though.
No, she probably, next time she's going to get back there and she's just going to recline on somebody.
She's the kind of person who's going to sue the airline is what's going to happen.
Yeah, and probably win. And
you made seats that recline and I got choked because of it.
That's why terrorists win.
Where'd that flight originate?
Los Angeles.
Where was it going?
San Francisco.
Ugh. If you can't sit on a flight from L.A. to San Francisco without reclining.
Yeah, that's.
I mean, 13 minutes in, you're like halfway there. Come on, guys.
Shame.
And
what time was the flight at?
It doesn't say.
Okay.
But I fly Southwest a lot. Of the airlines, there's actually more room there than there are on most. And I know.
People are just terrible. Terrible humans.
I know. I got to say. Choking someone, not cool, unless you're in the octagon. Then it's cool. But something needs to be done to these people.
Yeah.
And they should know that reclining is evil and that you're going to burn in hell for it.
I think an air marshal should just tase them.
I'm okay with that.
Yeah. Treat them like terrorists.
You know what I'm going to do next time somebody does that to me? Usually what I do is I make sure I get up during the flight, and I put my hands on the chair to pull myself up, you know, and just kind of rattle them a little bit. But I think I'm going to cough up the biggest loogie I can find and sneeze on the back of their head.
That's a good idea.
I think that's going to be, because to me, that's less offensive than you trying to crush my knees by reclining.
Yeah. Can you spill a drink on them?
Yes. Perfectly legal.
Like just say, oh, well.
Except you have to pay for the alcohol, and I don't want to spill my alcohol.
Well, just spill orange juice.
Yeah, that's what I'll do. I'll get some orange juice.
Just say, I'm sorry, I couldn't use my folding table because you were reclined, so I was keeping my juice on the top of your chair, and it just fell because turbulence.
I don't know. I think snot in the hair is worse than orange juice in the hair.
Maybe.
I mean, especially if you can get a really good juicy
one.
But
if they have a laptop, you definitely want to spill orange juice on.
Oh, absolutely. That's a good plan.
Yeah.
Anyway, but don't choke them. Okay, that's a little much, even for us, even though we – and I'll say it. I am all for fighting back against these people.
You know what I'm going to start doing? I'm going to start talking to a flight attendant and saying, hey, this person's talking about bombs, and it's really freaking me out.
I love it.
And just see how they treat them.
Yeah. Right?
Because that's almost what they are.
Yeah, this woman mentioned something.
You're one step away from that.
She mentioned something about having a detonator in her purse. I don't know what she meant by
that. I don't know
what
she means, but it's really suspicious, and I'm scared. And they're going to have to do something. They're going to have to move me or move her.
Somebody said just jam your knees into their back until they stop reclining. I do that every time. It doesn't work.
What I've started doing is I pick my knees up and do the shake, like I've got, like, really anxious leg, And so it's, you know, they're bouncing back and forth. That usually discourages it. And I'll just say, oh, sorry, I get really anxious when my personal space is invaded. And that's what's happened because you've chosen to recline your seat.
Oh, let me clarify now. If you're on a flight that's not full and there's nobody behind you, recline away.
Yeah. Lay down across the seats. I don't care.
Yeah. And you can put that thing dead flat back there if you want.
The problem is if you're under 5'9" and you recline, first of all, only people under 5'9" recline because anybody over 5'9" has the human decency to know what it causes to people who aren't 5'9". But if you're under 5'9", you have no reason to recline anyway.
Ugh. Yeah, well, just so you know, this is an issue. This is a big deal, and we are going to continue shedding light on this every time we can. So when there's
no one's talking about this on the presidential debates?
Shouldn't they be?
Yeah.
Bernie Sanders, you want to get my vote? Stop talking about paying for free college.
This is right there with global warming for me. Like, this is an issue.
I want Bernie to get on there and say, don't recline. Don't recline. That's not what we do as Americans.
Yeah. Y'all are talking about fair tax. How about, you know, fair airplane seat recline rules?
You know what, Trump? You want to get some attention? That should be your new
Trump,
thing.
Trump has no idea what it's like to fly commercial.
Yeah, he's
no idea.
He's like,
that's the last guy. You know,
there's only two seats on my plane. What the hell?
He's like, the bed on my plane reclines just fine.
Anyway, yeah, I've got 8 supermodels in there, and I make them stay in the other room. Anyway, that's your Zadok Jewelers Gym of the Day.
The Gym of the Day. It's the Gym of the Day. The Zadok Jeweler Gym of the Day.
If you're one of those people who can induce vomiting, that's another good thing to do.
Oh, you know what?
Like, stand up and act like you're going to make a break to the restroom, and then, oh, sorry. Oh, God, this is so horrible.
I can do that. You know what? That's a great idea.
Yeah.
Oh, I feel so bad. The problem is you got to smell it the rest of the flight.
Listen, smelling your own puke sucks. Smelling somebody else's puke, oh, that's the worst.
Yeah, Lamont.
That's the worst.
Lamont says if they're on an aisle seat, you know, walk by and basically crop dust them.
Yeah.
I can't do that on demand, though.
That's like if I pee my pants, that's gross, and I've got to smell pee all day. But if you walk by and pee on me, that's double worse. I mean, you can't recover from that. You know, same with vomit. Same bodily fluids. Somebody else's bodily fluids on you is always 10 times worse than your own bodily fluids on you.
So I'm gonna stick with the sneeze.
Sneezing isn't enough. Yeah, that's not punishment.
No. Swan likes
that's a slap on the wrist for these criminals.
So if you spit on me, I'll punch you in the. You know what? We both go to jail. It's like, no, I'm just gonna sneeze on you. That's not spitting on you. I tried to cover my mouth. It just happened so fast. It just flew out. That happens,
and
right?
You had to stand up to do it.
Yeah, I know, because there wasn't any room,
yeah.
And I didn't want to sneeze on my peanuts and vodka.
Right.
So there you go.